All right, so we're back in the book of Proverbs, and as we started last week, we're going to walk through and do some topical studies in the book of Proverbs, as we said. Before we dive in, we're going to talk about the tongue and words, which I find to be such an amazingly applicable topic for all of us, especially even as we're going through the book of James. To recognize that the book of James teaches us that no one can tame the tongue. And so as we come to Proverbs, there's so much that's said, and I find it to be so relevant for us as members of the church body to recognize how our tongues affect unity in the body. And so anyway, we're gonna get into that. But just to remind ourselves, just to remind us that when we come to Proverbs, we need to come with just that perspective of humility. And that's obviously what we looked at last week, that need to go to others for counsel, that need to be humble. And so, once again, the reminder that as we come to the book of Proverbs, it's so easy to think that we have things figured out, and even things maybe regarding our tongue. But just a reminder that we need God, and we need to understand our lack of wisdom and our need for God's value system, and especially when it comes to the tongue. I think that, I don't know, I used to kind of more think, maybe when I was a lot younger, maybe when I was in high school or something, just remember thinking, you know, I read that statement in James that no one can control the tongue. He's like, I don't really have a problem with my tongue. I remember thinking this, you know, like, I don't cuss, I don't whatever. It's like, you know, I seem to have my tongue pretty much under control, you know. But you realize, especially as you go through the book of Proverbs, that, you know, controlling your tongue isn't just about cussing, or isn't just about swearing, or isn't just about, you know, every word that you say has the power of life and death, right? It has the ability to tear down or to build up, and has massive, I mean, over all the things that you could do, what you say can have some of the most profound effects on other people that you can imagine. I mean, obviously, all the way from sharing the gospel with someone to tearing someone down and, in one sense, inciting them to reject the faith. I mean, you could have such a vast effect with your tongue, and certainly we'll see that in the book of Proverbs. But also, I think we'll see so much just what words do in terms of relationships. So much of what biblical Christianity is, it's about various relationships, right? And so we recognize that our tongues are such, you know, how do we have relationships apart from what we communicate to one another? And it's so easy to communicate poorly, to communicate selfishly, to, you know, all the different, you know, errors that we can make with our tongues. And so for me, just that starting off with, okay, a reminder that, okay, we all need wisdom. We all need to understand. Just understanding how applicable this is, I think, should challenge us all to listen very, very closely to what Proverbs has to say about the tongue, and to see how, you know, we all may think we have our tongues under control, but to recognize how much farther we have to go in terms of truly honoring God with our tongues and just with everything that we say. So anyway, I look forward to walking through this with you, and certainly there's lots of opportunity for discussion and questions and all of that as we just kind of meditate on these Proverbs together. So obviously feel free to do that. But anyway, any questions about even what we studied last week, or anything before we dive in once again to Proverbs and start talking about the tongue?
What does Proverb mean?
Well, a proverb is basically a, what's the best way to say it? Like a saying. It's almost like a, I wouldn't say a riddle, but it almost has that kind of an idea. It's a short saying that has wisdom kind of within it. And so the book of Proverbs is all about these kind of one-line statements that we call proverbs. Like we could have like an English, a good example of an English proverb would be, I don't know if you've heard the statement, look before you leap. You ever heard that?
Yeah. I think I know what that means.
Right, but have you, you've heard that statement. Anyone have some other examples of English proverbs?
Apple a day.
Yeah.
The doctor.
There, there you go. There you go. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What?
Think before you speak.
Sure, think before you speak. These are just kind of, they're short statements that have wisdom kind of in them, and they're kind of designed to make you think. And especially when you come to the book of Proverbs in the Bible, these statements of wisdom are God's wisdom. And they're God's values and what's important to God. And so that's why it's so important as we come to study this that we understand that this is not just like, oh, how, self-improvement, how do I make my life better? But this is what God is telling us in terms of what he, how he desires us to think and to live. And so it's so vital for us. As we saw already, you know, if you weren't there, the first nine chapters of Proverbs are just trying to convince us that we need wisdom, and it's really a matter of life and death. Remember, we talked about there's these two paths, and you either choose the path of life or you choose the path of death. And there's only those two paths. And so the path of life is the path of wisdom and the path of pursuing God and seeking to understand how to live in light of what he has said. And if you don't choose that path, you are on the path to death, you know. And so just that reminder as we come to the book of Proverbs that we really have to start with, okay, we need wisdom. If you just kind of come like, okay, I'm going to listen to some practical kind of stuff, you know, and I, you know, I'll take it or leave it, you know, you've missed the whole point of the book of Proverbs. If you think you could just kind of listen to these Proverbs and, well, yeah, maybe, and just kind of deal with it lightly like that, you're really in danger of what we've seen in the first nine chapters of going down that path that leads to death. And so for all of us, just as we, before we dive in, just that reminder, okay, this is life and death kind of stuff. Are we going to choose to follow God's way or not? And so anyway, we're going to look at some very practical ways to do that with our tongues this evening. Okay, does that answer your question more or less?
In a way, at the same time, no. But like, in a way, it does. Sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just a word that means a short saying. I mean, that's basically all it is.
Metaphor.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yep. Yep. That's good. All right, so let's dive in if there's nothing else. We're just, like we did last week, we're just going to dive in and kind of verse by verse tackle some of these things. So start in chapter 10 and verse 11. And here, right off the bat, you see the importance of the tongue. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Right off the bat, you see that, you know, the mouth of the righteous, it's a fountain. It's this source of life. It's kind of, you know, it's this, it's a beautiful picture there of the fact that it's, it's just continually flowing forth with life. There's, it's like just a spring that's open and flowing, and there's no lack of abundant life. And so once again, we see that the tongue is a matter of life and death, as we were kind of saying initially, how it just stresses the importance of this, and that what you say really does give life to people, right? I mean, in so many different ways. And so, you know, it's so easy to think, oh, it's just words, right? But as the, you know, the old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. You know, the book of Proverbs would definitely disagree with that statement. that words are life and death kind of matters, you know? And it has to do with, because it's because words, you know, affect our thinking and affect our reasoning and all the decisions that we make. It's communication of truth, and all those things are so vital. Those are life and death kind of issues. And so the righteous person, the words that they say impart life to those around them. But on the flip side, of course, a wicked person just conceals violence. Once again, you see kind of the contrast there, but they are not a fountain of life, obviously. And ultimately, as we'll see, they bring about death. All right, we'll just kind of keep walking through here. Go to verse 14.
Question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like really the opposite. It's
You're
like
right.
And so I was wondering, why is it, like, is it because, like the wicked, like, there's, like, a motive behind it or something to do, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Often you'll find, sometimes in Proverbs, you'll find direct contrast.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, what you'd expect here is the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked is a fountain of death, or,
yeah,
you know, something along those lines. But often, Proverbs, and they do this intentionally, kind of give you half the story,
mm-hmm,
and then the other half kind of takes it and then twists it just a little bit. And it's kind of to make you think about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with this particular proverb, the first half of it obviously emphasized the mouth of the righteous, but here it's, you know, I think it probably, obviously now we're talking about the mouth of the wicked, and in terms of concealing violence, you see that...
That's what I was wondering, like, what does it, like, mean, like, with the concealing? Because I didn't want, like, my, like, how I thought about it, like, I thought...
Right, I think it's the in both cases, it's the result of words,
okay,
right? So on the one hand, the righteous person imparts life to others with their words, but the wicked person just allows wickedness to prosper,
okay,
and violence to go on. And so you see, if I could put it this way, wickedness just thrives,
mm-hmm,
in the presence of a wicked person.
Mm-hmm.
And so their mouth doesn't bring about correction or anything like that. Just violence just continues on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of see a little bit of a contrast there.
But is it like mostly causing violence or just keeping violence continuing or something like that?
Yeah, in this case, it seems to be more like concealing violence seems to be the idea that they're not not causing it themselves per se.
But keeping it going? Like,
yeah, like hiding it maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not, and so violence just kind of thrives in that sense, and wickedness. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I hope so.
Yeah. Once again, some of these proverbs, you know, you just got to stop and think about them for a while. And, like, they're not, you know, surface apparent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they're kind of designed to be that way. In other words, sometimes you can over-explain a proverb.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, like, it's kind of what I said from the beginning. Like, it's just kind of left out there so that, you know, you think about it, and then eventually it's the light's supposed to kind of click.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say that we shouldn't try to explain them.
Mm-hmm.
We should, but I don't want to get too... If you get too specific in your explanation, sometimes you can take something that's broad and has a wide range of application and make it overly narrow.
Okay.
And so that's the challenging thing in trying to explain these proverbs, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't you say that these ones were, like, situational, like, kind of?
Right, yeah.
So... That's what I was wondering.
Well, I mean, but see, the proverb applies to a wide range of situations,
mm-hmm,
you know? And so, yeah, you have to kind of just, like, leave the proverb as it is in a sense so that it applies to all those situations.
Okay.
That's a good question.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, I've been thinking about the Good Samaritan lately.
About the what?
The Good Samaritan, the,
mm-hmm,
story. And I know it has something to do with the subject, but if you see someone getting attacked and you do nothing about it and you just walk, is that a sin?
If you see someone what? I didn't hear that.
Like,
before.
If you see... If you watch a sin, just go by. Like, is that a sin? Like,
mm-hmm,
if you see someone getting attacked...
Okay,
or,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely can be. Once again, I mean, the Good Samaritan is in response to a question... the question goes back as, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So that was the question that was asked to Jesus. And Jesus came back and, well, then the other guy came back and said, well, who's my neighbor? And so then Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan to emphasize, okay, what is it? What is your neighbor? You know, and in that context, he's talking really to the nation of Israel. And so... Anyway, I was kind of getting myself off on a tangent here. But the short of it is that in the New Testament, it makes it very clear that we as Christians are required to show that kind of love to other Christians. And so it would definitely be a sin to not show that kind of love and care for another Christian. I don't know if I'd go quite so far as to say it's a sin. It really depends on your motives. you know. But yeah, if there's a lack of, if you see someone that's going through something like that, I tend to think that, yeah, it probably is a sin. You know, you see someone that's going through something and you just leave them, and it's really just kind of your selfishness, you know, that's just kind of not caring. But anyway, we could talk about that more afterwards. But yeah, I mean, Christ calls us to be selfless. You know, Christianity is, you know, Jesus says, take up my cross and follow me. You know, and so if we're being selfish, we probably miss the boat of what Christianity is. So, but we could talk more about the Good Samaritan, but that's a good question. All right, we'll keep moving on. We'll come back to if we have some more questions like that. But go to 10:14. Notice this: the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. You see, what's that?
Don't get the whole thing, period.
What's ruin? Ruin is destruction.
Well, I get that. But...
So a wise person lays up knowledge. They keep growing in their understanding, right? They keep learning more and more. Okay? But the mouth of a fool brings ruin near.
English, please?
Well, I'll put it this way. The wise person is always learning.
Okay?
That's the first part of it, right? The wise person is always learning. But here's the thing. It's kind of a contrast between learning and speaking. You know, like, the wise person is growing in knowledge, but the fool, just out of his lack of knowledge, speaks, and it brings about destruction.
Okay, that works too.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
It makes sense? What's that?
It's like giving very bad advice.
Right.
Like being a fool thinking you're giving good advice and actually give rotten advice and people suffer.
Exactly. But you kind of see the contrast between the wise person who's constantly learning and the fool who has no knowledge and speaks and brings about ruin. You know, this is kind of the contrast to the previous one, where it's like the mouth of the righteous person brings about as a fountain of life, you know, helping, but the mouth of the fool brings about destruction and ruin. And so you see the contrast. The wise person is constantly growing in their wisdom and their knowledge and their understanding, you know, and out of that fountain of knowledge and wisdom that's from God, they're able to impart life to others. But then contrast that with the fool who's not constantly, they're just a fool, and so whenever they speak, because they're not growing in God's knowledge and they're not growing in His wisdom, they speak and it causes ruin and destruction for people. Okay, so you see that contrast between the wise person and the fool.
It's interesting that the fool here is not giving you bad advice on purpose. He thinks he's helping you.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great observation. Great observation. All right, go to verse 19. Notice this: when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In other words, the more you talk, the more likely you are to sin. It's really as simple as that. Yep. I mean, the more you talk, the more you are likely to sin. The wise person, you know, we'll see this all throughout Proverbs. The wise person is very, very careful what he says. That's the point. The wise person is very careful because words are so important, right? Because by your word, once again, you know, even just take that example that Lewis is saying, you know, you give someone some advice. You give them bad advice, you know, that you could ruin their whole life, right? And so a wise person thinks very carefully before they speak.
If one thing you say to someone else can get interpreted back to you as something totally different.
Yeah. I mean, you could go just, it just leaves it broad because there's so many different ways that what you say can end up for bad. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and so, once again, the point here is be very, very careful. Think before you speak. Yeah.
By wise, do you mean by wise, by knowledge, or do you mean by knowledge of the Bible?
Well, it really has to do with, from Proverbs, yeah, it is knowledge of God, knowledge of what is right. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is knowing, it's, you know, if you're going to put it simply, it's knowing what God wants and being able to put it into practice, being able to do it. You know, you could be this. You could memorize the entire Bible and not be wise. You know, you can memorize the whole Bible, but if you're not living it out, if you're not thinking through and able to put what it says into practice and to do it, you're not a wise person. But you have to know it first before you could do it. And so it definitely involves knowledge, but it's not just knowledge. And so that's what the wise person is the person who's able to understand God's word and to live it out. You're a fool if you hear God's word, but you don't live it out. And so, anyway, that we've kind of looked at that a little bit before in Proverbs, but that's what Proverbs is all about. Okay? So, once again, we need to think before we speak. Look at the very next verse. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Now, once again, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. This is how valuable this is. Right, it's so valuable that the righteous person, their counsel, their speaking, it's so valuable. But the contrast is, you know, you see now. See, this is Celeste just left. This is a good example. This is a good example where the parallelism doesn't quite match, but you see the point. Notice this. On the one hand, you have the tongue of the righteous. The other one, you have the heart of the wicked. This goes. I don't know if you heard this, Celeste, but this is a good example of your question.
Very good example.
All right, verse 20 of chapter 10.
Okay.
Notice how it says the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and you'd expect it to say the tongue of the wicked is of little worth,
mm-hmm.
right? But notice here it changes it to the heart, and what this does is. So subtly, and this is so cool that they do that. This is what they do in Hebrew. It's like the righteous person's tongue is valuable because of what it imparts and what it accomplishes, right? In other words, good counsel, encouragement, it imparts life. So the tongue of the righteous is valuable.
Isn't that supposed to be their heart?
Well, just a second. Watch this. Okay? Because of, it's speaking of the result. Right, because of their wisdom, the righteous person speaks the truth, they give good counsel, they encourage, they do all these good things with their tongue, and so therefore it's very valuable. But now, rather than just saying the tongue of the wicked, he emphasizes the heart because there's a connection. Right? In other words, what comes out of the wicked person's mouth comes from his heart. And so by just subtly switching the words like that, he's able to, like, in one sense, explain this whole concept that, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, just by kind of swapping that words. And he draws, with that parallel, he makes you think, well, are these two things related? And then, of course, you say, well, of course the heart and the mouth are related.
Yeah,
so he kind of...
A lot of people say that, like, speak from the heart.
Exactly. And that's even in Proverbs. You know, and so just that little swap of the two words there makes you think, well, what's the connection between the heart and the mouth? And then, of course, you say, oh, the wicked person, out of his heart comes his speaking. And that's, you know, worthless.
20 and 21, I think, make sense together.
Yeah, you're right. They do go together. That's good. And you see that, you look at 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. You know, once again, the righteous person speaks wise counsel and there's practical results. You know, people are fed. You know, there's their good counsel results in, you know, wise living. And, like, look at all the practical results. But in contrast to that, a fool, they don't have any sense. And so they die. They have no sense to even know how to live. What's that?
They go in the middle of the street, don't look both ways, get hit.
Right?
I found it interesting. On the way up here to Bible study, we were talking about somebody's blog, I think it was somebody from church, mentioning that the heart, the pastor talks about how the heart is deceitful. So, and this shows that the heart can either be good or it could be evil. So just because it comes from the heart doesn't mean it's good necessarily. It could be evil as well.
All right. We'll keep moving here. Skip to verse, let's see, I think 31 of this chapter. Once again, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Once again, you see that kind of I don't know what you would call, but that false parallelism a little bit. Once again, we see the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. That's kind of expected, right? I mean, we've seen that all throughout, that the righteous person, they're constantly bringing forth wisdom on their lips, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. In other words, God's going to judge those who speak wickedly. That's what perverse has the idea of, like, crooked. You know, you've heard of a pervert, you know. It's like someone who's crooked in their thinking. A perverse tongue is a crooked, it's a wicked tongue. It's a evil tongue, but it has the nuance of something that's crooked. And that's the idea of perverse. And so God, it says, will be cut off. You know, I think here it's using that as a kind of a metaphor for the fact that God's going to judge that person.
So, like, God is going to cut it off, or is it, like, the situation because of the way they act?
Well, I'm probably both and. Okay. I mean, he doesn't really define it here, you know. He just says that this is going to be the result. I think, you know, the whole idea of cut off is kind of it's a pretty theological term, mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, there's talk about God will cut off people from the camp, and I think
judgment.
Yeah, judgment. Like that. At least I'd have to make sure that that's like. Right in the Hebrew, but I think that terminology really is consistent with the whole rest of the Old Testament for God's judgment. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like he's not so much literally talking about cutting off the tongue.
Well, no, I know, not cutting off, but like, we're like someone in a situation.
Right.
Did something, and they said something wrong, you know, like
well,
we...
I think both and.
Both and.
Both and. I would think it's probably emphasizing more of God's judgment, mm-hmm. but that's just, you know, I don't think it excludes the other. I mean, certainly all throughout Proverbs you see just the other side that you're asking about, you know, that they reap the fruit of their own,
yeah,
you know, exactly. But here I think maybe more emphasizing more of God's judgment.
And
but those two,
like,
you can't...
I was just wondering. Like,
well, I think the word cut off... Mm-hmm. Based on, you know, I'd like to do, you know, you could do a word study on it in the Bible, but I think it's a pretty pregnant term in the sense of all throughout the Old Testament that, like, if you go to, like, even Deuteronomy and stuff, it talks about the wicked person will be cut off from the camp, and it's speaking of God's judgment.
Is it the same Hebrew word?
I think so. And that's why I would say that, yeah.
Thank you.
Good question. All right, and then 32... The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. And so, you know, just once again, the same exact thing. This one is a straight contrast, right? You see this one, there's an exact parallel. So you kind of see every different way that the Proverbs work. Sometimes they're directly parallel, sometimes they're not. What's that?
I'm just saying left, right. Parallel to opposite.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're kind of, they switch it up on you to make you think about it a little bit and not just take it for granted. All right, well, we'll just keep moving through. Let's jump to, I don't know, for sake of time, chapter 11, verse, let me see. Let's go to 12. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Here, just the reminder that it's so easy to belittle someone. You know, it's so easy to put someone down. You know, in this proverb, of course, talking about your neighbor. But it really, you could apply this to just about any context. You know, why do you put people down? Often you do it to kind of make yourself look better, but Proverbs would teach us that that is not wise. It's not wise to put other people down, and especially your neighbor. You know, the person who does that lacks sense. You know, it's kind of like they're empty-headed is really what it's saying. You're empty-headed if you're putting down others. You know, you do it maybe out of your own pride or whatever. You think it'll make you look better. You think that you'll get something out of it maybe. You know, maybe you'll think you look witty or smart by, like, I could put this person down. We've all been a part of that. We've all, you know, seen that or whatever. But Proverbs would teach us to be very, very careful about that. A man of understanding remains silent, right? You have the opportunity to put someone down. Proverbs says, wisdom would say, shut your lips, right? And just be quiet. It's only the empty-headed person who does that.
Does it also apply to, like, behind the person's back?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. In fact, I think almost primarily here. Okay. But probably both and, you know?
Well, I know, like, because I thought I was don't belittle someone. But I mean, like, I know it's both bad, but I just wasn't sure if it was emphasizing which one.
I think probably pretty much equally both here. Yeah, that it's just, if you put someone down, whether to their face or to their back, you're empty-headed. You know, it's going to come back around. And you see that all throughout Proverbs, you know. Look at the very next verse. This is one of my favorites. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. You know, if you know how this is, someone tells you a secret, you know, and here it's in the context, the secret is not just like, you know, some interesting fact. Okay, it's a sin, really. You know, and so, you know, maybe in confidence someone, you know, opens up to you and tells you something, or maybe they don't even open up to you, but you find out about the sin of someone else. You know, this is what gossip is. Right? Hey, did you hear that so-and-so sinned in this way? Did you hear that so-and-so did this or that? You know, and, you know, whoever is slandering, you're speaking against someone else, you're just constantly revealing secrets. Things that should be kept quiet, things that should be secret, you're spreading. And you see the flip side to it is he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps the thing covered. Right, we're going to see this a lot in the book of Proverbs, and this is absolutely vital for the church. Gossip, slander, are just devastating within the church body. And obviously in Israel too. But, I mean, just to bring it very, very practical for us, this is something that we as a church body need to really take to heart. You know, if we're going to speak slanderously about one another, the book of Proverbs would just show the absolute disastrous effects of it and would tell us that we're not wise, you know, to do so. And so a trustworthy person knows, you know, when to keep something secret. Like, you don't just go around spreading people's sin. And that doesn't mean that you don't go to the person if you see something or whatever, but you certainly don't just go spreading people's sin around. That is just absolutely essential in the book of Proverbs and so vital for all of us to keep in mind and to remember.
I'm just wondering though, because if like someone did tell you a secret, and wouldn't you want, like, but you didn't know how to help that person or anything, but you wanted to pray for them, like?
Yeah, I mean, there could be legitimate, I think, times to go for counsel and things like that, but this proverb would teach us, though, that, and this probably the best thing to do is if someone tells you something about someone else's sin, the first thing you should ask that person is, why are you telling me this? You know, that's the first thing right off the bat. You should say, why are you telling me this? And if they don't have like a legitimate reason, which there's not probably a whole lot of them, you know, if they're not coming to you legitimately for counsel, it's easy. That's the thing. It's so easy to guise gossip in the sense of, hey, I really am seeking your counsel on this. What do you think about this person's sin? You know?
But, like, would it be okay? Because, I mean, like, I've prayed for my sister. Mm-hmm. So she lives with her boyfriend. And, right. Like, but she has no problem with that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's mom
a, yeah, yeah.
Has a problem with me saying that. Because she's embarrassed of it.
Right, right. So. No, I don't necessarily think that it necessarily would apply in that situation. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, I would tend to think that, like, yeah, those the unbelievers sin openly. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily, like, spreading their secret sin around. Mm-hmm. It's just they're unbelievers.
Yeah.
You know, and so we, like, pray for them to, like, come to repentance and, like, that type of thing. Like, when I share that my father-in-law is not a believer and, you know, and we pray for his salvation, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not, like, trying to spread his sin around. It's just, it's open, you know. Mm-hmm. He just has openly rejected the faith. You know, so I don't necessarily think it applies in that way, but that's a good question. Because we do want to be careful. You know, we don't, whether it's even believer or unbeliever, this especially for New Testament has, you know, most applicable to believers. You know, but even unbelievers, we don't want to just be slandering people, mm-hmm. you know, and just spreading their sin around, and especially if it's something that's like a secret, you know, that mm-hmm. that they're not sharing and stuff. Like, we need to be discreet and, like, not just those who, like, gossip and slander. And so I think there could be even definitely application to non-believers where we're not just going around, you know, spreading their sin, you know, and slandering them. So that's a good point. Yeah, Jamin.
Matthew, you know, that's probably the one part where it's like, because it's not where you bring up someone's sin to necessarily seek counsel, but you're seeking to go like the other step in correction as far as church discipline. It's one thing to think of as far as where it is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I thought I'd just bring that up because it wasn't discussed, but just, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there are legitimate times too where you would say, like, go to your pastor and say, like, hey, I went to this person or whatever, or I just don't even know how to respond to this or whatever. I think there are those legitimate times, but we all have to be very careful, I would suggest, because it's easy just to justify that type of thing. Yeah.
I'd also add just like the most important thing is to first go to the person.
Yeah.
You know, even when like someone brings up something like, you know, about it, like I usually, like what you said, you know, it's like, well, why are you telling me this? And then I usually go to the person and ask them, hey, I've heard this, and not even mention the person that told me, because that could cause a whole bunch of other problems. And ask them directly, say, are you struggling with this? Is this your problem right now? Because usually when you go to the person, you can find out the truth a lot faster than going through other people that heard.
Yeah. Yeah, you so. Just it's just the day we'll see as we keep walking through these Proverbs, the danger of slander and gossip, and man, it's just disastrous, the effects, yeah.
So is it bad just hearing someone talk about another person?
Well, I mean,
that crowd.
I mean, yeah, it can be. It definitely can be bad to just accept it and just listen and not, like, challenge the person, you know? Like, if I'm up here slandering and I'm saying all this stuff about Ken here, you know, and I'm like, hey, did you hear about Kenneth, you know, blah, 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 and I just saying all this stuff about him, and then, like, you know, you just are listening and you're not like, you know, yeah, you're participating in it. You know, it's easy to think, well, it's just my fault because I'm the one that's gossiping. But if you're listening to gossip, you're almost just as guilty as the other person.
What about if you just go like, oh, I don't like that person, or I don't like that teacher, or I don't like...
I think that's considered gossiping.
I guess it kind of depends on what, why are you saying that, you know? And like, what's your heart? Opinion. What's your motives? You know, are you...
I don't like a lot of people.
You know, I don't necessarily think that, you know, just going off, you know, I don't like this person, like... God calls us to love people, you know? So why are you saying that? And what the issue is, like, a heart issue, most importantly.
Is there a way of saying, like, in a positive way? I know that might sound stupid, but, like, more like, how do you say it? If someone says to you, like, this person, like, how do you feel about it? I heard you had problems. Like, how do you say it?
Well, I mean, you could say, like, you know, you're talking to someone and they're, like, choosing which class to take, and you're like, you know what, I don't think this teacher is the best at communicating or something. Like, you know, or whatever, you know, but, or I think that this, you know, we could talk about things like that, but we just have to be careful with, mostly it's a heart issue we have to be careful of, you know, just in, why are you saying what you're saying? You know, the Bible would says so much to say about, like, what's our motives behind our thinking and what we say. And so, that's why the first question is, why are you telling me this? You know, when someone says something about someone else.
Hey Josh, in this particular instance, I must read the English version, just reading it. But isn't this like in the situation where someone tells you that they have a secret to tell you and then you go about telling it in this particular verse?
I don't think so. I think, like, we're in which verse again? We're in...
Like, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets.
Yeah,
I'm wondering, like, where does he get this information from? Is he just overhearing the information, or someone is actually telling him, and then he goes ahead and tells a secret anyways?
Yeah, like, I think it could be all of the above. Like, I think it's more the idea that, I think, like, our English word secret implies more, like, oh, they told me a secret. Mm-hmm. You know, I could be wrong, and I'd like to, you know, maybe I could study it some more, but I think it's more the idea of this is something that should be secret, you know, mm-hmm. it's something that should be concealed. And you kind of see that in the contrast, right, in but one who is trustworthy keeps a thing covered, you know, like if you see any kind of sin, the contrast is, are you the kind of person that uncovers sin and makes it known? Are you the kind of person that, whether it's a secret that you told me, it certainly applies to that, but I think it's broader than that, at least as I would see it. Like, you know, not only you told me, like, hey, I've got this sin, and now I go and tell people, but I think it could also apply, I think this is broad enough, like, a wise person just keeps things covered. You're not just like, hey, I happen to see you sin, I'm not going to just go tell everyone. So I would at least at this point see it as broad enough to be both of those.
Do you see it also then as, in this particular verse, then is it necessarily a sin situation, or is it just more broader than that? Because it doesn't necessarily say the sin there.
Well, yeah, I mean, with all of Proverbs, you have that question, right? You know, here it's saying what is wise, in essence, you know? And so that's kind of where I'd say maybe it's not an absolute. Maybe there would be a reason to tell someone about someone else's sin, you know? Like, if you're going to someone for counsel, maybe, and there may be, but wisdom would be like, you'd better, you know, it's not the wisest thing to do just to be uncovering people's sin. And so it's just a proverb, but it's in general, it's saying, don't be spreading people's sin. You know, it's just kind of, once again, just as a general proverb, you know, not necessarily as a, like, a law, per se. You know, you got to figure out how to apply it. And that, like Jamin brought up, like maybe Matthew 18 or certain circumstances, yeah, there may be legitimate times to, but you don't just go, it's once again, it's just a proverb. Don't be spreading sin. You could just kind of leave it at that, you know, cover it up, you know, yeah.
I've always sort of taken this, I mean, it would include sins, but always thought of it in terms of like confidences. When you have people confide in you, maybe it is about sin, maybe it's not about sin. Maybe it's about past history. But this is something when somebody gives you confidence, even if another person you thought would keep it in confidence, you don't tell it.
Right.
It's not, you're not the owner of that information for dispensing.
Sure, and I think that's true too. I think this verse, by using the word slandering, slander is to speak evil of someone. And so I think it's possible. I mean, I think it's definitely applicable to that, like just telling someone secrets and things like that. But here I think slandering is to speak evil, and so it has a lot more to do with just someone's sin than just general kind of secrets. Once again, I think that's applicable for sure. But it's, as I would see this verse, it has everything to do with people's sins and speaking of things that should be covered. Once again, there's definitely applicability, but that's really what slander is.
I should ask two questions about this. Hey, what if you hear a rumor about someone, mm-hmm. that, and then that someone is your friend, is it a sin to tell that friend, like, people are saying this about you, or saying...
No, I don't necessarily think that. Like, you, I mean, you could always go to the person and, like, verify things, you know? Once again, if you hear a rumor, you just have to recognize that that's what it is, and you shouldn't put any stock in it. If you hear a rumor, if you want to know if it's true or not, you got to go to the source. You know, and not just believe and not just spread rumors. You want to put a stop to rumors, right? Because that's all they are.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm here.
Yeah, you could go, yeah, I mean, you hear something, I don't think it's wrong to go, like, try to verify it and say, like,
so
you know.
What's your motive behind it?
I'm just saying, like, is it okay to say, like, dude, I'm hearing this, and, like, I just want to let you know, like...
Yeah, I think Celeste's question is a good one. Like, why are you doing that? You know, like, if you're trying to, like, if it's out of care for a person, like, hey, I heard that you were, you know, in sin.
To get something straight, probably.
Yeah,
see,
like,
what's really going on?
Right. Yeah, and out of care for a person, you know, that would be a good reason. Like, hey, Jamin, I heard that you were, you know, you know, whatever, you know, like, hey, I'll go to Jamin, I'll say, hey, Jamin, what's up? You know, let's talk. And, like, you know, just out of care for the person, you know.
But if
I'm just trying to, like, stir up more strife, you know, that's not good.
And another question is it okay if you tell a person a secret, not about anyone, but, like, yourself?
About yourself? Sure. Yeah, like, I mean, there's a lot in scripture just about openness and transparency with people, and, like, yeah, it's very appropriate to confide in people, like, hey, could you pray for me about this or whatever? Yeah, for sure. Like, if you're talking about for yourself, yeah.
I was just wondering, I guess this would apply to, like, more women, to my question is that, so I know, like, a lot of girls come to me, especially since they're, like, 13, 14, for venting.
Mm-hmm.
So that would that fall under this category?
Yeah.
And because, I mean, like, that's their word, venting.
Yeah, it definitely applies. Yeah, for sure. You know,
so
and
what would be, like, the best situation for that?
Best
go
response?
To a counselor.
Yeah, best response would be to say, like, you know, that probably they're venting to you about some other person, right? That they have an issue with or whatever. Like, to say, like, hey, you have a heart issue with this person. You need to make that right. Like, you shouldn't be telling me this. You know, and I think, it's appropriate for you, like, with these younger girls or whatever, to, like, to be encouraging them to be doing what's right here and to, like, use that as an opportunity to teach them, like, hey, you have a heart issue here. You know, like, go make this right with this person. You know, don't be telling me about it. Go make it right with the person, you know? And so, like, that, I think, I mean, I don't know every, you know, possible situation, but I think that, you know, I think I'm familiar enough with how people speak that would probably be the normal thing that we would want to do, you know? The same would be true of any of us, you know? People vent to us all the time, you know? Even, like, last week, Mike was sharing how his coworker was venting to him about some other coworker, right? And he said, you know, and he was like, hey, I gave him an opportunity to challenge this person and say, hey, why are you telling me this? Like, you need to go to that person. You need to make this right. And, yeah, for sure.
Josh, as far as the word slander,
mm-hmm.
That's an accurate word. The talebearer, I think it's good.
Talebearer?
Yeah, I mean, is slander a much better word?
Let me look it up. Talebearer. That's an interesting word. We'll come back to it. Remind me not to just say I'm going to look it up, but
actually do it.
Yes, but to actually do it. This is 11.
His dictionary program says it is.
All right, I'll look it up just to be doubly sure.
Rakil.
What's that?
Rakil. No, he has a dictionary program that says yes, slander.
All right, we'll look it up. All right, let's go to chapter 12, verse 16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult.
Okay, what's...
Look at, just let me explain. You know, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to explain to you. All right, when you get upset, you know, that's kind of what when you're vexed. When you're upset, are you the kind of person that people know when you're upset?
Yeah.
Okay. The problem, proverb says that's true of a fool, you know, like that. But if you're wise, you're able to ignore an insult and you don't immediately respond, right? Someone insults you. If you're upset about something, it's kind of being cool. You know, to be able to, like, you know, okay, I'm wise, I could take this, and not, like, immediately respond out of, like, you know, that instant response of anger, you know. And so I kind of put this one in here because it's not per se about the tongue, but, you know, it is very much about your response. And I think oftentimes your response will be in your words. But the question is, how do you respond?
Or actions.
What's that?
Or actions.
You're right. You're right.
So would that kind of
like
be like maturity thing, though?
Sure.
Or just anger management, period.
Or wisdom, according
to
here.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, a wise person is not going to allow that to
affect them
in a sense. Yeah.
And when she says sticks and stones may break my bones, but wood never break me, that is not true.
Absolutely it's not. But the wise person is able to take an insult and not just respond immediately back. And that's what that verse says. And I mean, just, you know, we don't need to get too much into depth in it, but just to say, like, hey, we all need to seek to respond that way.
For one, if someone's insulting you, they're normally looking for a reaction. If you don't give it to them, now what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Push even further. Well, what if they're not even trying to insult you, but they did?
Well, then just the graciousness of not responding in that way.
Could you tell them, though, that they hurt your feelings if they...
Sure, but once again, you're not vexed.
Okay.
You know, you're not, like, your anger, your indignation, your, you know, it's like, you're not instantly enraged, you know, by an insult.
So it's okay to say to you, like, all that stuff?
Yeah, sure. All right, let's keep moving. Let's go to 18. Yeah, 12, 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Right? Once again, you know, does everyone know what a rash word is? Mm-hmm. If something rash is something not well thought out. It's just in the moment. It's just quick. Mm-hmm. You know? If you just speak rashly, quickly, without thinking through things, your words are like sword thrusts.
You're going to kill someone before you even know you're doing it.
Exactly. You're going to kill someone before you even recognize what you're doing. But notice the contrast. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Right? Just speak out of their wisdom, your words bring about restoration and healing and life. You know, the words of the fool brings death, the words of the wise brings life.
Right? Say English, but you already put it in English terms.
Right? You see just the positive results of the wise person's tongue. It's constantly building people up and healing them and restoring them. Just the good results. Okay, we'll just keep moving. Verse 23. I love this. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. Right? If you're a fool, everyone knows you're a fool. You know, because you constantly are letting it out. You know, the wise person thinks before he speaks, and so, like, he has knowledge in his heart, and it comes out when, it, you know, it's concealed. It's not just folly coming out the mouth constantly. You know, you see that contrast. All right, we'll keep going. Chapter 15. This one we all know so well in Proverbs. It's classic. One of the most classic proverbs. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We've all seen this a million times, whether it's in ourselves or in others, right?
Which verse was 16:1?
15:1, sorry. You know it. You know what this is about, right? This is not about what you say, but what? How you say it, right? You know, it's about how you say it. If you say something harshly, it doesn't really matter what you're saying. You know, just stir in the pot. Just stir in the pot.
My mom made me do this verse over and over and over again for standards because I kept getting mad at her.
Good for her. Right? I mean, like, I love the positive side of it because we all know that a harsh word stirs. I mean, we all know that. But the positive side of it is, notice how it turns away wrath? It's like you're in the midst of a situation. TJ just comes and is like blasting me in my face or something, right? And if I respond gently, the whole situation just diffuses.
That's
you know?
True. The more well, you respond, said it, you know? The worse it gets.
Yeah, and so it's kind of, you know, it reminds me even, it's not exactly parallel, but when I was little, I don't know how what age I was, maybe like 6th grade or 5th grade, or maybe even younger, I don't know. But, I had a brother, and we always used to fight, you know, brothers are made for adversity, you know. and I remember my mom said to me, you know, it takes two to fight.
Takes two to tango.
It takes two to tango, that's right. You know, and it kind of, that's, somehow, whatever age I was, 4th grade, whatever, it just really stuck with me. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to decide we're never going to fight anymore. You know? And we stopped fighting at that point. You know, it's like, he does something to me, I don't have to do anything back. You know, and like, here it's more to do with words, but it's just like, it doesn't matter what someone says to you, If you respond graciously and gently, you know, not to say always, you know, but as a general rule of thumb, as a proverbial statement, like, it's going to diffuse the situation. You know, so just for all of us. And the flip side, of course, is, you know, if we are speaking harsh words, we're gonna inflame the situation. So just for all of us, just to be very gentle with our words.
Well, with brothers and sisters, can't you, like, well, don't you say harsh things in order to show your love?
I see what you're saying. You have to be careful with that, though.
Two sisters and I argue with all the time, so.
You just have to be careful with that. I understand just joking and doing it in a loving kind of a way, but you have to be very careful with that.
Oh, Jenny never did in a loving kind of way. She'll aim to hurt you, period. She'll aim to hurt you.
Anyway. All right.
Is profanity bad? Like you said, it's sin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why would you say that?
I'm just wondering, because someone told me that it's not.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on kind of... Once it gets into your motives of what you're saying and why. You know, if you're just... if you're just kind of speaking profanity, just, you know, there's no reason for that. And we could get into, like, cursing and different things, but yeah, that... I don't think that there's in general. I'll just say that no, it's a sin. Yeah, there's not good reasons for it. Well, anyway,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What do you mean by like someone told me? Okay, well, by someone saying body is a temple, like what do they mean by that? Like no tattoos, no smoking, no drinking, you know?
Oh, well, we're not gonna get to go there. Well, we'll come back to that. That's a longer question.
Very long question.
All right, keep moving here. All right, let's go to... which verse did I just do?
15.1.
Yeah, 15.1. Let's go to 23 of 15. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a good word in season, how good it is. In other words, a rightly timed word. You know, words can have such benefit. You know, you see that person who is discouraged, and right at that moment, you bring that encouraging word at just the right moment. You know, just what a blessing that can be to someone. You know, what a joy it is, and how good it is, you know. And so, just once again, think through your words, observe those around you. Wisdom would tell you how to speak in such a way that's encouraging to people around you, and building them up, and right for the situation. Right? You know, when someone's down, to bring an encouraging word. When someone's, you know, in sin, to bring an exhortation. When someone's, you know, the right word for the right situation. And so, once again, words are so powerful, but it's all about saying the right word at the right time. You know, and so just the wisdom to know when to say what. And that's why we're studying Proverbs, is to understand that. And then verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Just think before you speak, like you said. It's as simple as that, really. You know, our words are so important. And so the wicked person is just, it's a fire hose. It just comes out. But the righteous person, you know, you think very carefully before you speak. Well, right? Because
you think before you speak, you save your butt a lot.
It's true.
You save yourself a lot.
It's true. You just need to be careful. You just need to be so, so careful. We just need to guard our tongues. Recognize how important it is. All right, let's...
I'm just sorry. Keep asking questions. If someone is speaking, like, ill manner, is it good to, like, tell them if they are?
Yeah, I think in general, yeah.
In general? Okay.
For sure.
Oh, I'm not
reasonable. All right, we'll keep going. Go to chapter 16. Let's go to 23. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds pervasiveness to his lips. In other words, you know, the wise person uses his speech very carefully, and it's well reasoned and well thought out. And, you know, it accomplishes the goal that he's setting out for it. And so his his speech actually accomplishes things. Notice how he adds pervasiveness. You know, it's, in other words, he persuades people by what he says because it's well thought out and well reasoned. Does someone else have another translation for that?
Part of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips.
There you go. Yeah, just once again, just to speak very carefully. There's so much in here just about thinking through what you speak.
What was the verse then?
That was
16:23. Yeah, but what was the way your viewer was?
Oh, mine says the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious.
Judicious.
Yeah.
I thought it said judicious.
Oh, sorry. Judicious. All right, notice the very next verse. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Once again, what's your words, right? What you speak can be so encouraging and so building up. And I mean, I hope we as a body are marked by this, just encouraging one another and how that could change someone's whole perspective, change their whole, you know, they could be downcast and discouraged and just those gracious words could come in and just lift them up. Encourage them. So important. You know, verse 28, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. Oh man, once again, just that gossip. Idea of gossip. Yep, that's it. Right? The dishonest man just causes dissension, causes strife, causes fighting
that's
by
so
not
true.
Speaking the truth.
That is so true.
And you know it's true. Yeah, it's so...
I like the book of Proverbs because it goes day by day life.
It is. It is. And just how a whisperer, you can have really close friends, but just gossip will come in and could separate those close friends.
One whisperer can just get, you have a bunch of friends, they go from a lot to just yourself and like this. It was one whisper. Because that has done to me plenty of times.
Yep, it's true. Just once again, the danger of gossip, especially for all of us in the church. Just to beware of these things. All right, go to 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends.
What offense?
Like, an offense would be like, hey, I do something to you. Like, I sin against you, or I... Whatever, you know, I punch you in the nose, and, you know, whatever it is. Like, there's some offense. Maybe I said something unkind to you. But whoever is covering that up, not, once again, you're not spreading it around. You're not slandering. I'm not like, hey, did you hear what, well, I wouldn't say it about myself, I guess, but, you know, hey, did you hear what TJ did to me, or did you hear what TJ did to Charity, or whatever, you know, and I'm just spreading.
Am I a prime example?
Well, you're sitting closest to me.
It's the hot seat.
She's sitting like, what, 2 feet from you?
He's facing you.
It's not likely.
Yeah, but... All right,
yeah,
all right.
12 options.
Enough. But you understand the idea, right? This, don't be spreading. Don't be spreading sin. Cover it. Once again, you repeat sin, you repeat some matter, you're going to separate close friends. Just the danger of gossip and slander.
Oh, when burning bridges is really bad.
Yep. All right. Let's see. There's so much we could cover here. I love verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. In other words, 14.
Okay,
chapter 17, verse 14.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, we were in 17 already. 14. So, you know, in other words, you know, you can sense when the conversation's starting to escalate, right? And it's like quit before it gets too up there. You know, quit.
The water ripples.
Yeah, exactly. Quit before the dam breaks. You know, like, it's just a little, you just see the little trickle, and it's like, leave before the whole thing erupts.
Okay, so if you're angry with an enemy, I can't say that. if you're angry with someone, but you can't confront them about it because they won't allow you to, but you're really angry and you want to talk to someone about it, what do you do? But that'll still be gossiping in a way. So,
but once again, your motive behind it.
Fuck you, never mind.
I need you to just talk to a counselor about it, so.
Well, that's good. That's good. All right. Let's continue on. I'm up 27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Once again, just to not just speak whatever comes into your mind, but to be careful with your words. And notice even verse 28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. Right? You know, once again, the fool is constantly speaking and just revealing that he is a fool. He who closes his lips, when he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So the more you speak, the more you reveal the fact that you're a fool. And so once again,
the more you're angry, the more you keep quiet, the more you're acknowledged.
There you have it.
So I'm really talkative, so is that bad?
I think Proverbs would warn against that, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go too far with it, but yeah, you want to be careful about what you say. You know, the Proverbs has a lot to say about, you know, the more you speak, the more likely you are to say something that you shouldn't. You know, so just be very careful about what you say. Proverbs has a lot to say about that.
The phrase cool spirit, obviously when we're talking about, like, cool.
Right.
What is it?
I think calm. You know, as someone who's, you know, under control in a sense, yeah. I mean, it's in the contrast to hot. You know, we all know what a hot-tempered person is. So cool is kind of the contrast to that. It's someone who's not angry, but they're very calm and under control, self-control. All right, let's go. All right, for sake of time, let's just jump all the way to chapter 25. There's more verses that we could cover, but let's go to 25, verse 9. And this sounds so much like the New Testament. Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret. You know, in other words, go to the person. You know, you have an issue with someone, don't go spreading it around, just go to the person. It is what I was saying earlier, but this is more emphasizing the flip side of it. Before, it's like, don't reveal another person's sin or another person's problem. Here, it's emphasizing, go to the person.
Go to the person your problem was. That's a lot better.
Right? Go to the person who you have an issue with, and don't be just spreading it around.
You need less friends.
And then the next verse, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. In other words, you spread it around, and you're going to be the one that suffers for it, just to put it simply. You're going to be the one that suffers for it. All right, let's go to 26:20. Oh, so vital here. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases.
What's a quarrel?
A quarrel is a fight. And so,
you don't feed the fire, it automatically just goes straight out.
Exactly. And so where there's no gossip,
there's no fire.
There's no fire, there's no fighting. You know, like, the more gossip is just spreading, is feeding the fires. That's basically what it's saying. You know,
the more you talk, the more you feed.
Exactly.
So I want to ask you a question, like, do you have, no, I was going to answer on that, like, So I heard that you're having problems with, some from students say, hey, I heard that you're having problems with charity. Then, is it okay for you to tell me or no? Or should I just be like, that's not your business?
Yeah, probably. That's probably the best way to do it.
Don't feed the fire.
That's not your business, charity.
look at this whole section here in 20 through 28. 20 through 28 is all on this same subject. And so notice verse 21. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Right? So, once again, don't feed the fire. A quarrelsome man, it just keeps adding to the fire. You know? Notice the next one. I'm doing 20 through 28 of chapter 26. Notice 22. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. See, this is the danger. You know, gossip, everyone loves to hear gossip. Everybody wants to hear gossip. They want to know. There's that curiosity. And so this is
a, from curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah. And this is a warning. This is a warning that says, beware. You know, gossip is so tempting. Everyone wants that, wants to hear that gossip. But obviously, as we've seen throughout throughout Proverbs, just the destruction that it brings, this is just a warning about how everyone wants to hear it. Everyone.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's because when you said right now, like, how everyone wants to hear gossip, it's like, it's that because, like, it's just so, like, simple, like, things like pleasure or something like that?
Yeah, it's a
juicy.
Yeah, it's just curiosity and, yeah, and a sinful curiosity, yeah. I mean, I think just, it's kind of, I guess if I could put it this way, human nature. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah.
Like how we like find joy in gossip, like.
Have you ever been to a juicy apple or something juicy? You always want more of it. In other words.
Right.
That is true.
It is true, but I think it's just in a, it kind of feeds our self, you know, like, hey, we want to know, we want to, you know. I don't know how else to put that, but just curiosity is.
I'm just putting the simplest term. You want to bite something juicy, you want more of it.
But I mean, like, why is it so desirable? Is it just because sin is, like, desirable or something?
I think often, yeah, but it's a good question because I don't know if it's because of our pride or what it is about us that makes us want to know other people's sin and makes us want to know. We always want to, you know those things. Just I don't know how to say it other than curiosity. And,
curiosity filled with that.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of is a form of selfishness, you know, because you're taking pleasure in knowing about someone else who's doing horribly.
Right.
Know, sinfully. And it's instead of having this attitude of compassion, you really want to help that person, it's like, well, they're doing crappy and I'm not and I'm pretty good. So
yeah.
It's a self-centered attitude.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I agree
Thank
with that.
Thank you, sorry about that.
No, that's good. And look at verse 23. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. In other words, it's got this nice covering, right? And so you can have, in other words, it's the danger of lips that can deceive. You know, that aren't, you know, it's like a whitewashed fence kind of a thing. You know, it's like the outside looks good, but the inside there's problems. You know, once again, it's that warning about the lips, that the lips can say one thing, but not, you know, not be reflected of the heart. It's a warning against hypocrisy. And you see kind of the same thing in verse 24. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips. In other words, you could hate inside, but by your kind words on the outside, you're hiding the fact that you hate.
Wait, verse 24, chapter 25?
26.
Oh, okay. So, like, what?
And harbors deceit in his heart. In other words, you just got to be careful. People can say one thing, but it doesn't necessarily always reflect their heart. Right? Notice this, verse 25. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. In other words, just beware. There's people are hypocrites, you know. And you can say one thing with the lips, but what about the heart? That's what's important. All right, and then for sake of time, let's just jump to chapter 29. Look at verse 11. And this is what we've seen already. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Just be careful what you say. Don't be the fool that's constantly speaking. And then verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. You know, if someone just doesn't think before they speak, you're better off just to be a fool. All right, so a lot there. We could go into a lot more detail on a lot of these, but I think for us, as we just kind of meditate on this, one of the major things is that I get from this is just to be, you know, the effects that words can have, just kind of as we started off with, that it's life and death, that if we have a good, timed word, if we're carefully thinking through things, we give good counsel, we bring encouragement, it could just totally transform someone's day, someone's life, right? It's life and death kind of matters. And so just with our tongues, just be so careful. We should be a body that's marked by encouraging one another and helping one another. And just by the words that we speak, we're edifying and encouraging one another, speaking of spiritual things and just in all that we do, building one another up. So that's just so important, and our words are how we do that. And so just the importance of that. And then also the dangers of some of the errors of words in terms of gossip and slander, and how that can be so absolutely destructive. And we've all seen that to some degree or another. And so just the warning to be so, so careful about, especially in the Church of God, spreading other people's sin. You know, and so just a great reminder to us. Right, a lot more lessons there. Anyone else care to reflect on something else? Oh, 16. What was that?
Chapter 16, verse 13.
What was that? Let's see.
Proverbs.
I'm in the right
place. The righteous lips are the delight of the king, and he who loves his speech with what is right.
There you go.
13 or 13?
Chapter 16, verse 13.
13.
Yeah, I mean, once again, if you speak what is right, you know, even, you know, the king, everyone's just going to love you for it, right? It's just the effects are so, so noticeable.
My mom made me sing most of these in my head to the point where if I say something, she goes, look at the bio first before you speak. You know, she used this against me when I was in sage. Always. Look, this isn't right. She goes, yes, it is. No, it's not.
All right, any?
I still have a question about the body is the temple.
We'll come back to that. Just let's finish this out. Then we'll come back.
It's good. Enough.
We're all trying to seem really intelligent.
All right, well, let's close in prayer, and then, I mean, it is the reminder, yeah, obviously, just to think very carefully before we speak, but our words can have such a positive effect and such a good effect on one another, and so we all need that. We all been that time when we needed that encouragement, and, you know, and so just to be mindful of that.
sorry, keep on speaking out of turn. So should, I guess we take away from this is not only to, like, think before we speak, but, like, seek, like, some, like, wise counsel to help us remind
listen
us or something.
First. Sure, yeah. Wise counsel is obviously within the book of Proverbs, and just be, the more we grow in our understanding of God's word and God's values and God's wisdom, the more we're going to understand how to use our words to encourage people, and how to use our words to warn people, or to exhort people, or to admonish, or all the different things that we could do with our words, you know, for positive and good effect, and knowing when to do that and how to do that. Like, is the more we grow in our knowledge of God's word, the more we grow in wisdom, the more it's going to come off of our lips, and just for good effect, you know. And so there's no easy way to, like, all of a sudden be the person that's just like, oh, I'm all of a sudden wise, or I'm all of a sudden, like, you know, encouraging to everyone or whatever. Like, it's a lifelong process, you know, but Proverbs is just the verses that we are emphasizing tonight, just emphasize how that's so much just our lips and what we say and just the effect that can have on people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Even people that you would consider wise? Like,
yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. All right, well, let's close in prayer, and then we could continue to discuss these things and hopefully use our tongues for good purposes. Our Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the challenge from it, just to be encouraging and edifying and building one another up, and not to be sharing one another's sin and gossiping and slandering, but recognizing that our lips can be a fountain of life, They could be healing. They could be so sweet. They could be like honeycomb. Just encouraging and building up. And so we just pray that we would be marked by this, all of us, with our lips. That we would be thinking before we speak and just trying to always speak that which is spiritual and that which is encouraging. Lord, we thank you for this body. We do pray that you'd be working in our lives to cause us to be more like Christ in everything that we say. And so we thank you for this time. We pray that you would bless our fellowship to come. In Christ's name, amen.